and welcome at Time Ride. I am your digital time travel assistant T3RO, and I will accompany you on your mission to learn from the past. For this, I will send you on a unique journey through time, to be more precise, to the divided Berlin of 1985. Where we're going, we will need roads, because you will be riding the bus on a round trip through East Berlin of the 80s. You will learn how it was living in a divided city and under a communist dictatorship. You will absorb the mood and emotions and will take them with you to the present. Your time travel is about to begin, but you won't take your seats right away. That would be too dangerous. You should only set out to East Berlin of the 80s well informed and in safe company. Therefore, it is not only my job to transport you through time, but also to prepare you for it. For this, I will send you to the wall. You will feel the separation by the anti-fascist wall on your own body by watching original footage of life in East and West Berlin, and that way you will get a first impression of the two different worlds that existed at that time on both sides of the wall. Next, I will introduce you to three contemporary witnesses. They will report their personal life stories and share their fates in divided Berlin. Pay close attention, because you won't travel alone to East Berlin. Each one of you will be accompanied by one of the witnesses. Which of the three is your choice? After your decision, you will enter the tour bus, put on your time travel glasses, and the ride through East Berlin in 1985 can begin. Initiation protocol has been completed. Starting time travel procedure. One moment, please. Loading. 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 Data completed. Coordinates calibrated. Performance constant at 1.21 gigawatts. Opening the gate through time. Engage. Portal through time is opened. Measuring data stable. Dear time travelers, please step through this door into the past. Your time travel starts now. Scanning room. Scanning room. Scanning room. Excellent. Everyone arrived at the wall safely. Just as the wall is now separating you, it separated the inhabitants of East and West Berlin from each other. Two political systems being hostile to one another, and everyday life on both sides of the wall could hardly have been more different. Solidarity but oppression in the East. Freedom but extravagance in the West. But there were also similarities. Rebellion against the prevailing conditions and curiosity for life on the other side of the wall. What did people do in East Berlin and what in the west of the city? Let's have a look behind the wall with the help of latest VHS technology. Roll film.
Life in East Berlin, capital of the GDR. The poster child of German socialism. Representing a major promise, a society where solidarity is everything. Work for all, living space for all. Close to the people is how the leaders of the East German Communist Party like to see themselves. Its job is to create the next generation of socialists. Young people are called on to join the Free German Youth. As a blue shirt, you pledge allegiance to socialism, but you also do a lot of sports and impress your comrades. Work is organized in Volkseigenen Betrieben, people's companies. They provide an income, as well as holiday accommodation and childcare. In East Berlin, the Platter, or prefab, is the height of family joy. The state awards them. At the weekend, everyone heads to their country dacha. People do what they want, and socialism takes a break. The Palace of the Republic is East Berlin's showcase building. Dubbed Erich's Lamp Shop after East German leader Erich Honecker. A gigantic building with bars, stages, a bowling alley and a ballroom.
Die 80er Jahre in Ehren erfüllen.
The People's Chamber, the GDR Parliament, sits here. But it becomes clearer and clearer. The socialist project is impossible to finance. There are shortages of everything. An East Berliner has to wait 12 years for a trabi car and until the fall of the wall for a telephone. Many shelves are empty. If you need something, you have to swap. People become disillusioned. The state security apparatus, the Stasi, spies on anyone who dares to think differently. Sometimes enemies of the state are arrested in the street. The company Listen and Look, as it's known to the people, spies on private apartments and documents everything in great detail. Many people have had enough. Some young men refuse to serve and have to do forced labour. They can say goodbye to their careers. Those who completely refuse to cooperate can even end up behind bars. People start to show their discontent and demonstrate in churches and on the street. East Berlin's punks are also a thorn in the eye of the state. They usually play underground, rarely in public like here. But even supervision and suppression can only keep the GDR alive for so long. This unhappy country will soon cease to exist. Colourful, loud, different. Life in West Berlin, an island in the middle of East Germany. The western part of the city is hemmed in by a wall. Transit routes take you to the bastion of democracy, as the politicians like to put it. Better not to be noticed by the border guards, or the search will be thorough. The Kudamm Boulevard is a window on the west. The capitalist shopping street has something for everyone, a drink at a kiosk or high-end dining for pensioners. West Berlin makes itself a stronghold of culture and the arts. Berlinale stars and actors like the famous Bernhard Minetti strut their stuff here. The city is also known for its clubs. They attract thousands of people who prefer night to day. And fashion designers interested in way more than Parisian chic. The West German government pumps a lot of money into the city, keeping Berlin alive. In districts like Kreuzberg, the facades are crumbling, many apartments are empty. People just move into them. When the squatters are told to leave, they resist. There's also resistance to yesterday's moral order. Gays and lesbians enjoy sexual freedom in West Berlin. A city in a state of emergency. Nobody has to do military service. There are no closing times. The SO 36 Club in Kreuzberg becomes a legendary meeting place for anarchists and punks. And some people who have their own style. Things like this don't exist in so-called West Germany. West Berlin is crossed to the other side of the wall at Friedrichstrasse station. They are closely watched. They need additional papers, a special ID card. Their relatives are usually waiting for them on the other side, and for the gifts in their hand luggage. With the announcement of a prominent visitor in 1982, tensions in the walled city reach a climax. US President Ronald Reagan comes to express his solidarity and challenge the East.
Berlin bleibt doch Berlin.
But the Cold War arms race doesn't go down well with everyone. At demonstrations, some groups resort to violence. Despite that, or even because of it, For people in East Germany and West Germany, West Berlin was a place of dreams and longings. The call for freedom for all echoes through all of Berlin.
Freedom for all. What a promise in this tense time of the 1980s in Berlin. What do you think individual fates of people on both sides of the wall were like? Take the next step and get to know our contemporary witnesses. So many documents and identity cards, and behind every piece, personal experiences, adventures, and life stories. Take a seat and listen well. Three of these people will now introduce themselves to you. In the end, each of you will decide who you want to accompany you on your virtual reality ride through East Berlin.
My name is Harry Liedeke. I was born in 1952 in Berlin. Profession, I used to be a lorry driver and a tiler. Today I'm retired. Resident of East Berlin, Prenzlauer Berg. Religion, none. My father died young, probably due to a war trauma. Mom hardly ever spoke about him. She worked at the Rosa Luxemburg light bulb factory. She was well paid and things were good. I was a member of the Young Pioneers. Mother sent me there. I didn't join the Thälmann Pioneers or the Free German Youth. Uniforms weren't really my thing. Things got really bad when I was drafted. I didn't want to join the troops. I did building work. Boy, did they give us a hassle. We dig and lug things around and hardly get any time off. And then I became a tiler. Being accepted wasn't easy due to my rebellious youth, but I had connections and one of them took care of me, if you get what I mean. Then I met my wonderful wife, Bertha. And then we had our daughter, Daniela. And as a tiler, things soon got better too. I was able to get hold of materials, which I could then swap for other things. Things that were hard to find, so to speak, as tilers would share them around in a socialist manner. Then came the peaceful revolution. We were there at the front line at the Bornholmer border crossing. We shouted out, "Open the gates! Open the gates!" And they actually opened them. So we took a walk around West Berlin and then we went back to the east. Well, old East Berlin is my home after all. Come with me. I'll show you.
My name is Elke Markowski, maiden name Bischoff. I still live in my hometown Berlin. Profession, freelance architect. I was born in 1961. Exactly 2 weeks before the wall was erected across the city overnight. It's a strange feeling, the fact that my life has been linked to this wall from the very beginning. We knew it as the anti-fascist protection rampart separating us from the West. As a kid, you never thought about whether it was good or bad. Why would you? I had a happy sheltered childhood. We played out on the streets a lot. My parents were avid supporters of the party. I was a young pioneer, a Thälmann pioneer, and in the Free German Youth. Lots of singing, crafting, and dancing together, and being with friends. Once I graduated from the extended secondary school, I was able to study my desired subject, architecture. As an architecture student, Berlin was a dream. There were even more construction than today. I was determined to do my part in building the Republic. In the 80s, they sent workers from every part of the GDR to Berlin to help make the capital of the GDR shine for the 750th anniversary celebrations. I also met my husband around that time. We got married and soon after we had our son, Robin. Well, it was normal to have a child at 20. You would get an apartment more easily and there were lots of kindergarten spots. Actually, everything was going smoothly. actually. But I also got to see the shadow side of the system, every part of it. First, they had it in for my husband, which cost me my job, and as well nearly cost me him. By that time, I was thinking, something has to change. Now, I will show you my Berlin before those turbulent times, before we, the citizens of the DDR, knew what upheavals were coming our way.
Hi, I'm Michael Hartmann, profession, photographer and curator, and even if you can't tell anymore, a punk at heart. I was born in 1962 in Recklinghausen. I moved to Berlin, Kreuzberg, after high school. Yeah, that's my sound of West Berlin. Wild, weird, and simply against everything. Berlin saved me. The Ruhr, with its petite bourgeois structures, was driving me crazy. West Berlin was the promised land. The music legends alone. David Bowie and Iggy Pop. Living in a flat share. My living situation was also spectacular. I was a squatter and a political punk. We did everything to excess. Music, parties, drugs, fighting the repressive police on the streets. The atmosphere was explosive. East Berlin was the exact opposite. A friend once called it Disneyland for the depressed. I thought it was fascinating. Two worlds separated by just a wall. And all the absurdities, such as the anti-advertising signs. A restaurant had a sign saying, no hot food. I just had to photograph such things. In the mid-80s, my relationship with East Berlin got really hot. I met my future wife, Julia. We organized illegal concerts together. The problem? Her father was a member of the SED. Up until then, it had all just been a game. But then I realized that for the East Germans it was the harsh reality. So I joined the demonstrations in East Berlin to fight for freedom and to be together with Julia. If you travel back in time with me, I'll show you divided Berlin through the eyes of a non-conformist border crosser with a special interest in the bizarre and the off the wall.
So, do you already have a favorite? Remember, there can be only one. But before you take your decision, I'm going to explain our route. On the map, you see Berlin 1985, including the death strip between East and West. We are starting at the West Berlin part of the Friedrichstraße and will drive straight towards Checkpoint Charlie. What is now a hotspot for tourists was then a border crossing point with armed officers. So be on your guard. After the checking, we will find dull trams, but all around are parking cars with men suspiciously reading newspapers. Of course, it's all top secret. Not only the general public, but also border areas are monitored meticulously by state security. Just before we pass the House of Soviet Science and Culture, we have to change direction. A celebration by the GDR regime is blocking our way. And so, we take an unscheduled turn via Gendarmenmarkt with the French and German cathedral. Here, renovation works are in full swing. Afterwards, we drive along Leipziger Straße, which was a true GDR prestige road, with shops and very modern WBS-70 housing complexes. Next, we pass through Fischerinsel and drive into the center of political power of the GDR. The epitome of socialist representational buildings awaits at Marx Engels Platz, the Palace of the Republic, a cultural center for everyone and seat of the People's Chamber. This is where our tour comes to an end, but of course not without emotion. You're allowed to be curious. Introduction protocol completed. I now leave you in the care of my time travel companions. They will lead you to the tour bus and start the journey through the past. See you in 1985.